Welcome, everybody, to SCI's First for Hunters podcast. I'm your host, Ben Cassidy, Executive Vice President for International Government and Public Affairs at Safari Club International. Doesn't matter where you hunt, what you hunt, or how you hunt, you've come to the right place if you're a hunter. This podcast will give you the latest breaking news on what's happening and what you can do about it to protect your freedom to hunt. Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's Ben Cassidy, your host on Safari Club International's First for Hunters podcast. And I'm so excited to be joined today by Brandon Maddox, Silencer Central, one of our great sponsors that allows us to do what we do to defend your freedom to hunt. So happy to have you join us today. I know you just hopped off a flight straight from South Dakota from headquarters to visit with us here in the nation's capital. Thanks for coming in today.
Hey, thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to the conversation that we're going to have. Before we hop into everything, I just want to touch on a couple of things that are going on right now. I know one of your neighboring states, airport you just transferred through, Minnesota, they're pushing through their budget right now at the state level. Very concerning, putting lead bans in there. You know, that would affect places like Federal that are headquartered there that produce more ammunition than anyone else. Very big problem. But then just a whole anti-hunter's dream just kind of squeezed in right now that we're fighting against, you know, zones that shut off, tundra swan. We're talking about ammo lead also applies for tackle, right, for our fishing friends. So lots of concern out of there that's being fought as we speak. So if you're in Minnesota, now's the time to talk to your legislators in the Capitol. Colorado, today's the deadline with the Fish and Wildlife Service to submit comments. Looking to do a 10J rule that would be giving an exemption for the state to be able to manage a endangered species. And it may not be endangered, but it's listed on the endangered species list, but the wolf. You know, since the election in 2020, they've been looking to reintroduce the gray wolf, and they're pushing, those antis are pushing hard to get that done this year. Only problem is they have no means to actually manage it. So while we are opposed to this, what they call a reintroduction, I'd call it an introduction because these wolves are not from there. While we oppose that, we do want to see it properly managed. So there's going to have to be this 10J rule. So we're submitting our comments. I know a lot of our friends are doing that as well. And then some good news out of the state of Florida, where I went to college. Love it. Had a lot of good times in the outdoors down there. They've quickly have a right to hunt and fish moving through. Had a committee hearing yesterday. Zero opposition, be a big press conference going on with the Florida Wildlife Commission, and SCI will be there and all of our friends, so really pushing on some wins right there for hunters. So lots going on around the entire gamut of the United States and across the world. But really excited to be talking with you today. We had a good time in Nashville, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Great having you out there.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Huge turnout. It's exciting.
Yeah, it's just nice to be in a place that wants you to be there, right? From the governor down to, you know, the people working at the facility.
Totally.
Yeah. So very good to be there. So tell me, what's your path? What got you to where you are today? Today you were running one of the largest suppressor, silencer businesses in the planet, right?
Yep.
So just kind of walk me through, you know, what got you there? Like, were you born doing it? Were you born with the silencer? Is it a hearing thing? Tell me more about it.
Yeah, no, good question. So most people find it interesting. I'm a pharmacist by trade, so that's a little bit different of a path. But, you know, I moved to South Dakota. My wife's from there. I grew up in the South. And I started seeing these prairie dogs, and I thought that'd be kind of cool to shoot. Ranchers would invite you back then to come. They would even pay for your shells. You know, they were happy to have you. So, but what I found is as soon as you shoot, they typically go down in the hole. They're pretty astute after a couple of their buddies get shot at or hit. So I bought a suppressor really on a whim just to see if it would help. It did help significantly. And the first one I bought wasn't the right one. So I just kept buying until I got the right one. But the process was really a disaster. My insight was that a local gun store is really set up to sell you an item, give you a background check, and then you leave with that item. Whereas with a suppressor, there could be back and forth communication while you're waiting to get it approved.
Sure.
So really, we just created, I did a business around that whole concept of how do we make the process super easy for customers to get a suppressor, really from the beginning to the end, to the point now where we're shipping it directly to the customer's front door once it's approved. We're licensed in all 42 states where suppressors are legal. So I have employees in all 42 states where they're legal, and that helps us facilitate the delivery to their front door.
That's fantastic. What's the turnaround right now on getting one from going and saying, this is the one I want?
Yeah, you know, we had hoped the e-forms would be a little bit better. It's probably still 8 months. And, you know, it's it is what it is. When I first started doing it, it was 2 weeks. So, you know, I've said, you know, up to 2 years. So, it's, you know, it's not 8-9 months sounds bad, but it's probably better than it has been.
Sure.
And it's all digital, too. So we can upload everything into the ATF website, and then it basically sends you an email when you're approved, and then we can mail it to your front door.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, 8 months isn't that long. I've had a chance to hunt with suppressor. I feel like, you know, after doing it, you never want to go back.
Oh, right? Totally. 100%.
So then it can become a long way. Like Christmas is a ways away, right? Yeah. Hard to explain to the kids, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, totally. I mean, I recently was able to go over to Africa, and every gun over there has just got the, you know, can connected to it, basically.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. It's hard to go back from it. I mean, it's really strange to see it, you know, the hurdles we have in the United States compared to internationally. Like,
totally.
Have you been overseas and seen that? Like, yeah. Europe, it's like just right over the counter, right? Like you're buying a bipod or something.
Yeah, totally, totally. And a couple weeks ago when I was in South Africa, I asked the PH if we could go to a gun store, and actually I looked at all the suppressors they had there for sale. They are not serialized either. So,
yep.
But, you know, it's almost like in most of these countries it's flipped. So the process we have to go through to get a suppressor is what they have to go through to get a firearm.
Uh-huh.
So it's, unfortunately, it's sort of flipped. But, no, I agree. It's a whole lot easier overseas once you have the firearm. So you think it would eventually transition better for the U.S.
Yeah.
Which I think it will once we get more owners out there. There's just not enough people with them yet.
And what's that look like? You know, okay, so I was looking up some of your background. You know, 2005, that's the start for Silencer Central?
Yep, that's when I started,
That's when you started there. Yeah. And then, so what are we at now, 18 years from then?
Yeah, yep.
So how is it different, 2005, to where it is today in terms of ownership, ability to get them?
Sure, no, that's a really good question. So, you know, the biggest change I would find is when I would work gun shows, that's where I first started, everyone thought they were illegal. And, and in South Dakota, you know, to be fair, they were illegal in Minnesota and Iowa. So it's kind of a change, too, whereas before there weren't many states. There were some states they weren't legal in, and now they are legal at a state level. So, but from a communication and educational standpoint, most people thought suppressors, silencers were illegal. The other big change I've seen is that a lot of states, they weren't legal to hunt with, whereas now 41 of the 42 states where they're illegal, you can hunt with. The only state you can't hunt in is Connecticut. But so that's the biggest changes. I would say also when I first started doing this, everything that was for sale on the market was more tactical, sort of like set up for the AR era, sort of.
Yep.
I usually call it like Tactical Joe type setup, heavy, usually stainless steel, more tactical. Whereas, you know, what I think that Silencer Central, we sort of pride ourselves in is focusing on the hunter. Hunter typically wants lightweight, so we went with all titanium. So almost everything we sell is all titanium, so it doesn't add as much weight to the end of the barrel for hunting. Also, what we found with tactical focus was more of hearing safe, whereas hunter wants it as quiet as possible. So we really focused on how we make it quiet and light. So
yep.
I would say that's the biggest changes. And again, we've sort of worked to revolutionize the process to make it easier to get, because we find that's the biggest hurdle. There's so many unknowns in the process. So when you kind of raise your hand and say, hey, we're going to take the burden on our shoulders and manage the entire process for you and mail it to your front door, it seems to help.
Interesting, interesting. So do you feel, did hunters kind of come to the game late compared to the tactical side?
I think so. I think that one reason being that it just in the last, say, 3 or 4 or 5 years, they've become legal where you could hunt with them in most states.
Yeah.
And probably people didn't know if they could or they couldn't. Like, say, South Dakota, there is no law. So since there's no law, it's fine. Well, I think it was just an educational thing.
Yeah.
A lot of hunters just didn't realize. And, you know, it's sort of, it was kind of forced upon me because our geography in the Dakotas is mostly coyote and, you know, varmint hunters, predator hunters. So not to mean they don't shoot whitetails or mule deers and other things, but that was the core sort of function of our audience. And that's what kind of our business started and grew from, was starting in South Dakota, and we kind of branched from there.
Awesome, awesome. Do you get involved as a company politically?
Yes, more so than my staff would like.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
it seems like it's in your best interest, obviously, right? I mean.
Oh, totally. You know, in South Dakota, it was a big deal because, you know, I'd say there's probably 15 to 16 states that if you're NICS exempt, meaning that if your concealed carry in your state meets the Brady requirements where there's no background check, that helped us.
Uh-huh.
When I first started doing gun shows, there were so many locations in rural areas where honestly I couldn't get a phone to work or do a background check on a computer. So the ability to have a background check that not have to be done because they had a concealed carry was a really big deal.
Sure.
So I got spoiled because North Dakota had that. We didn't have it in South Dakota. So I spent, I think it was 7 years, $120,000. In lobbying to get that switched.
Wow.
Finally got it done. But I do think it got me more involved. So I've always worked very closely with, typically being a small state like South Dakota, it's usually NSSF or NRA that kind of comes in with issues. Typically concealed carry or you know, like constitutional carry. You know, I've been working on the whole banking discrimination issue. And
yep.
Our governor actually last week at the NRA meeting signed a, you know, sort of an anti-discrimination policy where banks can't discriminate against us being in the firearms industry. So that was a big deal. But then also I'm on the Congressional Sportsman's Foundation board.
Awesome.
And that's a way for me to sort of contribute at a federal level. Just make sure I have a seat at the table when they bring up issues that impact hunting and also suppressors. It's a good position to be in.
Yeah, I think it's incredibly important. You know, my past life, I worked at NRA, and I had the honor during that time to work on, you know, big sportsman's issues. We call them like a sportsman's package. It would just be a collection of different legislative bills that mattered to hunters. And one piece that was always in there was the Hearing Protection Act.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, when I first started working, there was education within our own community of hunters that this isn't just like, you know, trying to slip it in there, kind of like this lead ban in Minnesota, but this is completely relevant, and that core user group is really hunters, you know.
Yeah.
Whether they realize it yet or not.
True.
That's where we're all going with it. And again, I'll say it, you know, because I believe it, anyone that listens in, you shoot suppressed, you go hunt suppressed, you're not going back, right?
No, totally. No, 100%. Yeah. And I think that scares some people because they're afraid it's going to cost them a lot of money. But I always tell people that in most cases, we can get someone into a 30 cal suppressor. It's going to work on all their center fires.
Mm-hmm.
So when they look in their vault, they're like, I don't want to do one for everything. But just it's easier to look in your vault and go, ha, if I could get one that does them all, maybe I'm interested. So it's just, that is an obstacle where people are afraid it's going to be too much. They're afraid they are going to get hooked.
Okay. So you heard it here. Not too much.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Yeah.
So the Hearing Protection Act, though, right?
Yeah.
So it's been fought on for a long time. You know, it's been reintroduced by Jeff Duncan, past federal legislator of the year. Love you, Jeff Duncan. Senator Crapo,
sure.
Also a great champion.
Yeah.
Any insights on, you know, where it stands now, opportunities to move it along? I know we've got probably more friends than ever on the House side of things.
Yeah, totally. You know, obviously it would be difficult probably with the current president. But what I've seen, the benefit of the Hearing Protection Act is educate people. So I talked earlier when I started in 2005 and even probably the first 5 or 6 years, this was more of a hobby job for me working shows, telling people they're not illegal, telling people
yep.
how well they work. So to be in a position where the, you know, country's hearing about hearing protection, it has educated consumers. When the Trump administration first started, you would hear a lot about that at shows like, hey, you know, what do you think is going to happen to hearing protection? So I think that, you know, not speaking for the people that put it through, because I wasn't involved with that. I mean, we work with the American Suppressor Association,
yep.
but I know one of their goals, obviously, is education. I think it's working. I think people are more aware that suppressors are lawful. They can use them for hunting, and that's a win-win. Even if it doesn't get passed now and it's not the right environment, I think that as you get more users of suppressors, then you got more voters, then you got more people to educate elected officials. So I think at some point it should pass.
Is there any idea how many folks hunt suppressed now?
It's really low. So some of our influencers will do polls that,
yeah.
And it's super low. I mean, it's like less than, you know, 3 to 5%.
Yeah.
Because they'll sometimes ask vague, have you ever shot suppressed? And, you know, you might have go to Africa and shoot suppressed and not own a suppressor, just, you know.
Sure.
So just, yeah, it's like 3 to 5%. It's super low.
Wow.
Huge opportunity there.
Of course.
You know, my experience is people will spend money on something to enhance their hobby more so than other things.
Yeah.
You know, I sometimes kid, I think my parents think, gosh, we spent 6 years of education for you to be a pharmacist. And I explained to my parents, someone would walk into a pharmacy and
just a reminder.
Yeah. I mean, someone would walk into a pharmacy and pay $10 for a medication they need to stay alive. And to them, that's too expensive. Whereas if they want an $8 or $1,000 silencer, they find a way to get it.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting how that works.
Wherever you put your mind to it, right?
Totally.
Yeah. So Africa, I mean, you mentioned that you stopped by the shops and you saw the different salads. I imagine you were doing other things over there, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Totally.
Can you tell the listeners some about what went down? So this is recently. This is after the National Convention.
Yes. Yeah. Just a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Awesome.
So I guess I should admit that we sponsored a media company for suppressors for their hunts this year. So when I saw they had an Africa trip, I invited myself.
Sure. Well played, sir.
Yeah. I feel like they probably couldn't say no. So I told them, hey, I'll be my own party. You guys can do your own thing. But we went to Limpopo, which, you know, good experience. You know, flew into Johannesburg, drove. No, the whole goal there really was the Cape Buffalo. So that was the main objective. And got a lot of other, small stuff in, too. There's always gaps in the goal list. For some reason, the warthogs still are able to avoid me. I don't know, wherever I've been, it's been too dry and they don't, congregate enough to find one.
Well, it's like, how do you want to spend your time, too? I mean, you could spend the time at the waterhole for warthog all day, but
true.
You see
good
so
point.
Much other stuff moving around, right?
True. Oh, yeah, totally. No, that's valid. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. How was the Cape?
You know, it's good. It's as life would have it, I spent 3 days chasing around three of them. And then, the end of day three, I, see one not that far from the truck, and then it was easy to stalk. So, it's to me, it's very interesting. They do get up the trackers super early in the morning, look for prints around the, see how the tracks are, how deep they are, how big they are around the water holes. So that means they watered at night, and then kind of put us on their tail to look for them all day long. But what was super interesting is the other group we were with, they weren't hunting Cape Buffalo, but they actually got mauled by Cape Buffalo. So it created this additional level of intensity with our tracker, I could tell. He was already nervous about tracking the Cape Buffalo, but then to add that the other group got mauled by one, I could tell, create a little bit of tension in the group.
I believe it. I mean, yeah, talk about big game, dangerous game, right? Big five. I mean, it's the cow that looks at you like you owe it money. Right?
100%. That's a good analogy. I like
blow
it.
Blow you right up.
Yeah, totally.
We were talking earlier about the hooves they have, right? Just like
crazy.
A couple of axes being wielded.
They're
the
huge.
Damage and speed they can do.
They're huge.
How fast they can move, right?
Totally.
So
totally.
Kudos to you for having the gall to do it, man.
No, it's fun. I mean, I remember we were tracking them. We got up on three of them, and to hear them get up, because they like that sort of jungle, so you don't know. I mean, we might have been like 6 feet from them, so to hear three of the big ones really get up really quick and not know if they're coming at you, that'll wake you up really quick.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's no real big trees over there to, hide or,
What am I climbing up, right?
Yeah, there's nothing. There's nothing to hide behind.
Pony shrubs, yeah.
Totally.
You got to really have a strong connection with your guide, right? With your PH.
Oh, totally, yeah. Totally.
I trust you with my life, man.
Yeah, I hope they don't run.
Do you have any other plans to get out this season?
Yeah, I've done a better job of, booking them in advance.
Yeah.
So I've got a bear hunt in Idaho in May.
Awesome.
So I think I got four or five different things planned. So
good on you.
Yeah, I've been better about planning it. My staff totally spoils me. I mean, they'll sight my rifle in, put everything together. I just kind of pick up the rifle case. So it's I get spoiled. But, no, it's fun. I'm enjoying it.
So did you bring a gun over to South Africa or use one over there?
It was sponsored by Savage. So the
cool.
media group brought the Savages over with us. And,
awesome.
And then since they do some work for us with the suppressors, they brought everything. They were kind of like, don't worry with it. So I was like, all right.
What's your setup going to be in Idaho with bear?
I hadn't even looked into it too much.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I know it's
all
with hounds. So,
cool.
It's funny. I saw someone on my flight that was from Idaho. There's a ton of people like on the flight out to South Africa. A lot of people sort of recognize me in the silencer business. So they're asking me, one of them was from Idaho. And I was like, tell me about the bear hunting. I got one planned. He's like, dude, you're going to love it. You're going to be addicted. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah,
that sounds
great.
Fun.
Yeah. I'm jealous. We'll have to have you back on to hear more about it. Fill us in.
It looks fun.
So any cool products or any news like within the industry that our folks should know about?
And I don't know if people have heard about it yet because it's only came out at the end of last year, but that Banish Backcountry has been super, super popular. That's what I used in Africa. It sounds like a lot of people came to us and said, hey, the hunter wants a suppressor that's even shorter and even lighter. And I was sort of like, gosh, I mean, ours are already super light. They're all titanium. It's like, gosh, what are you asking for now? But, sat down with our engineers, and it probably took a year to develop. But It is super small. It's, you know, I read an article.
How do you do it, though? How do you keep squeezing it? Make the iPhone smaller?
Yeah, you know, they basically made it fatter. Okay. So typically a 30 cal is an inch and a half. So they went to like a 1.62. So a little bit thicker, you know, bigger diameter.
Uh-huh.
Then they made it like super short. It's like 5.5 inches. So it's really short. And it weighs like 7.8 ounces. I mean, I read an article that says lighter than your cell phone. I weighed my cell phone and they were right.
That's awesome.
But I think what I liked about it is it's still super quiet. I mean, it's hearing safe on a Remington Ultramag, which is a big round.
Yep.
So it's been super popular. Everyone that uses it loves it. They're addicted and they want one, which has been good. But as our market, you know, it takes 8 months to get one. So it's going to take a while for it to probably catch on. But that's been a good, you know, sort of like cautiously optimistic because you always hear people say, well, I want something lighter. So you're like, well, are they just saying that because they don't want to buy one? But now that we have it, it's really helped. A lot of times I see people, like especially in Texas, that already pretty much everyone in Texas owns a suppressor. When you show them
that's
that.
The 3%.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, totally. 100%. True, totally.
You work taxes.
The other interesting sort of statistic is there's about 3.5 million suppressors made in the U.S. Most people have two or three. So that it's like 1 million people own 3 million of them.
Yeah.
Which is
once
super,
you have it, it's like, this got to be on all my guns or I'm not picking it up.
Well, 100%. Yeah. Totally, yeah. It's but no, in Texas, you find that it's super popular because a lot of people have suppressors, so they know the benefit of them. And they hold that and fall light it as like, I need another one.
You think it's a predator thing too? Like it's like shooting pigs, or not predator, but just like invasive, feral, like you got your prairie dogs in South Dakota, pigs down in Texas, don't want to spook everyone off.
Yeah, that's a big deal for using the suppressor. And I think the other thing is if you're walking around where you have trees or like even when we were in Africa jungle, you know, have a shorter can, not catch on as many things, a big benefit.
Yep.
You know, I have a lot of manufacturers coming to me and say, hey, Brandon, we're creating new rifle models that have a faster twist rate, shorter barrels. We'd like to look at using your Banish Backcountry as sort of the preferred suppressor for that just because of that setup. So it's gone over really well. It's
awesome.
Been cool.
So 42 states now, 41 where you can hunt.
Yep.
And that means that there's a few states in that mix that you wouldn't always think about as being traditional, you know, gun owner states. I know people own guns across America.
Yeah,
don't get me wrong. But I mean, there's just a difference between Maryland and Mississippi, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, big time. Yeah, yeah.
Like, so are there any states that stand out that are like...
Texas is our biggest state by far.
Sure.
But in smaller states are like, you know, Vermont, New Hampshire, just because of population and also, you know, hunting, shooting. Connecticut's not really that big.
Yeah.
They've got some regulations just with whole threaded barrel stuff, so it creates some obstacles on the tactical side. But, yeah, I mean, we have employees in every state, just kind of per my agreement with the ATF. So it... So the busier ones are your southeast, and it's typically where you're shooting, you know, the varmints, the pigs at night.
Absolutely.
Texas, Florida, Oklahoma, Georgia.
So is there a lot of work afoot right now to get the last remaining eight states?
You know, there's a lawsuit right now in Illinois.
Through the courts,
yeah. And they're basically trying to say, hey, it's in regular use, so you can't prohibit the residents of Illinois from having access to it. So I'll be curious to see how it goes, because then that could be something you could roll out in every state. But you know how it is. They'll create something else where some other obstacle where your sheriff has to agree to it and none of them will. Or, you know, that's the whack-a-mole where it seems like. But Illinois would be a good state. It's really the only state in the Midwest that are not legal. You know, you got California on the West Coast is the only state where they're illegal on the West side. East side, you got, you know, quite a few of the other ones. But it would be nice to open up Illinois, big state.
Yeah, huge state.
It's just like every
state. I was just hunting in... Tennessee with an awesome guide, Garrett, and he left the next day to drive up to Illinois to find more turkeys up there.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I mean, there's huge culture up there.
Oh, yeah, it's a popular hunting space.
Big time.
I know some country music singers in Nashville, and a lot of them will go up there and hunt, especially deer.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're talking about education, right? And kind of, that's sort of like always the first step in advocacy. Educating legislators, educating the community. As the number of folks with suppressors grows, that voice becomes louder. Where's the education now? What's the biggest hurdle? It's on expense?
It's a good question. Honestly, I think it's on that you can hunt with them. Like, they have to visually see themselves and also the process. But, you know, you talk about conservation. So, you know, one thing Silencer Central does is we partner with SCI and really all the conservation groups that have smaller chapters. And this is sort of a pitch to anyone who hears this. If you have a local chapter of SCI or another conservation group you're a member of, Silencer Central will give a free silencer to that local chapter, and 100% of the money raised off that auction goes goes to the local chapter.
Awesome.
So at this year, before
banquet season, guys, yes, everyone listen, and gals, totally, listen up.
Totally, totally. And, you know, there's apprehension from some of the regional people who set these up, not necessarily SCI, but a lot of the groups, you know, they just don't know. But we're at $1.6 million we've given away just this year.
Wow.
2023. So it's a big number.
Yeah.
And so, again, we use that from an educational perspective. The goal is if there's an auction, it talks about how we make the process easy. Silencer Central delivers it to your front door. You can use it for hunting. The hope is that that group hears about it, learns about it, realizes it's a viable option. Hopefully, that whoever wins the auction and we do the process for them has a good experience. They tell their friends. But, no, really, our goal is to get the education out through the conservation groups and by also giving back.
Yep.
And our goal is to, you know, try to, you know, if we're at $1.6 million already and we're not even in the May yet, and our goal is to be $3 or $4 million by the end of the year. So if other groups who are conservation groups need items for donation for their local chapters, call Silencer Central, the 40-hour guy that coordinates it, and we'll make sure you get them free.
Awesome. That's fantastic. I know some chapters that should be taking advantage of that right now.
Yeah, no.
Certainly not, but they're making sure they listen to this.
Yeah, no, there are a lot of chapters because, you know, the benefit of this is I'll talk about it on podcast, and then I'll find out later that we got mauled with people, and I'm like, is there new organizations we're not familiar with? They go, no, 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 it's just the organizations we already work with.
Now they know,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they just didn't know. Yeah, totally.
Yep. Well, now we have no excuse, right?
Totally, yeah. A free suppressor. Gosh, I mean, we also do it for the NRA, which isn't really a conservation group, but, you know, National Wild Turkey has been the biggest because we've been working with them longer. They have an advocate in South Dakota who had been using it for years. And, yeah, I mean, I think this year we're almost up to $500,000 with them just this year. So
the turkey guys are putting a suppressor on the shotgun?
You know, I don't know. I think there's so much crossover.
Sure.
The guy that shoots, you know, turkeys also hunting squirrels or whatever else. So,
yeah.
It just from that educational push, and I sense that it's really the only item these chapters are getting where they get 100%. Most people want to claw back something where we're like, hey, we'll put everything on the table for conservation. And you know, and it's really helped us from an educational perspective maybe more than I thought it would, but it's also helped us because a lot of these have membership events, just like SCI has a national event. And
yep.
It helps us because then we have an opportunity to interact with all the chapter presidents and regional managers or whatever at the actual annual meeting and talk to the membership. And it's a good symbiotic relationship. It works out really well.
That's awesome. Do you do a lot of partnerships with other groups? So you obviously have the NGOs, like other users.
You know, we also work with farms manufacturers because the farms manufacturers don't compete
Savage.
With us. Yeah, Savage,
cool.
Exactly. We use the same PR firm, so it's worked out well
yep.
for that introduction there. But as I've gotten more involved with like CSF, being on the board there, just they don't compete with us, and a lot of them do live fire events. And what I've seen at live fire events is if you have a table full of farms, half of them are suppressed. That's the only thing that the people who visit want to actually shoot are the
sure.
suppressed ones. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And we do have a partnership. Probably our biggest partnership, honestly, is with Federal Premium Ammunition. And I think that
I know those guys, right?
I think that evolved from us working like they're in Minnesota. They're pretty close by. It's like a 32-minute flight. And then also just we do a lot of live events, and we need a lot of ammunition. So just getting to know them that way. And, you know, I think you might – I'm probably giving away too much information, but I think at some point you might see a co-promote coming out of this too. So
awesome. Looking
yeah.
forward to it.
Yeah, totally. They're a good group to work with. I mean, they're the
100%.
800-pound gorilla in the industry, the Vista Outdoors.
Yeah. For good reasons. I'd be remiss if I didn't touch on it. I just want to hear some from you on like the health benefits of shooting suppressed.
Yeah, you know, obviously, I think one thing is people, you hear about it more and more, and maybe I'm the guy that's listening for it, but, you know, they always say dementia is worse if you're hearing impaired.
Mm-hmm.
So as someone's hearing impaired and they can't communicate with other people, even with hearing aids, just surrounding noise. And if you can't communicate with other people, it speeds up the dementia and also creates issues where, you know, if your dementia gets worse enough where you're not talking to people, you kind of check out. It's unfortunately
wow.
almost
yeah.
like a hip break is for the elderly. So if there's things you can put in place to fix that, you know, people come up to the booth and say, well, I've already lost my hearing. It's like, well, there is a benefit to protecting what you do have left.
Sure.
So it sounds like a shameless pitch, but just seeing my father having been in the Army and now his hearing is very, very deteriorated from all the shooting there. And it's just hard for him to even communicate, you know, even to call. It's just difficult to even have a call with him unless he's got his, you know, his hearing aids hooked to the phone. And it's just, you know, being elderly, it's hard. So
yep.
I think that something people forget about until it actually happens. And when it happens, they think it's too late. It's it's never too late.
Never too late.
Yeah, there's some benefits there from a health perspective. Another benefit of suppressors I always forget to mention is just the recoil reduction. People think it's just the hearing thing, but it's also recoil reduction. So typically if you have a kid or someone else that wants to hunt or shoot and you don't really have the perfect firearm for them, you typically can use a higher caliber, suppress it, and you're going to get enough recoil reduction. Cool. It's going to be, you know, less kick for that hunter.
Makes it just more pleasurable all around.
100%. And like you said earlier, it's addictive. Once you shoot, you know, because I remember the first time I went to Namibia and shot with a suppressor, which is weird because in Namibia they're unregulated as well. So anyone can use them, but most of their hunters are Americans and hunters aren't bringing them with them. So they're typically not using them.
Yep.
So to see the tracker get so excited when you take a shot, and he could tell by hearing it because, yes, the loud sort of explosion of the bullet is mitigated so much that he can tell the impact of
the slap at the end.
100%. That's the right word, slap. I used to say I'd shoot prairie dogs like a wet towel, like you're popping it. You can tell if it's a kill shot, if it killed them. And trackers just love that because they know exactly what the end game is.
Yep. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to hear more of stories from your trips out there. I want to hear about Idaho black bear.
Yeah, that's going to be
how
good.
How that goes down with the suppressor. Really appreciate you coming in. You know, our focus this year and going into our next convention is the future of hunting. You know, I think that something like, you know, shooting suppress fits into that theme. I want to ask you, you know, as CEO of, you know, Silencer Central, what you want your legacy to be with hunting.
Yeah, I mean, I would say our legacy at Silencer Central and me is making the process simple. I think Silencer Central myself took a different approach. We went to the regulators at ATF. We had enough pride to say, hey, you know, we don't necessarily like it, but they do have a monopoly on interpreting the rules. The NFA rules were created in the 30s, so a lot of what we see today has nothing to do with the 30s. So it's been an iterative process back and forth to figure out ways to make it easier for customers to buy working with them. A lot of our processes were created based on their blessing. So we have ATF variances where we can do things differently. It's not against the regulations, but it's just where the regulations are silent. It allows us to make it easier for our customers. So, you know, really, I would say hopefully our legacy at Silencer Central is making the process simpler to buy a suppressor. Because as you mentioned, everyone that uses one loves it. You know, when I first started doing this in 2005, I worked gun shows, sportsman shows, farm shows, and I was always typically very aggressive at the shows to get people because I could tell there was just this obstacle about the paperwork. My wife would always ask me, gosh, do you feel bad being like kind of, you know, a little hard on some of these old guys or some of these people who maybe weren't going to get one? And I was like, absolutely not, because 100% of those people, when I see them at the next show, they're high-fiving me. They're telling me how great it is, how much their son loves it, their grandson, their brother, or whatever else. So it's a good sort of like positive feedback to see someone use it. So
I just want to help you out.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And it sounds like so self-serving, like from a, you know, like a financial thing, but it's not. Like once they use it, you know, I guess probably Zig Ziglar is the most popular first saying. And I don't know if he came up with it, but if you help enough other people get what they want, you can really have anything you want. So that benefit of helping other people get what they want, then it's going to only help you and sort of enrich your company. And so it's a win-win.
Awesome. Yeah. Great answer. And really great spending time with you today.
Thanks for fitting me in. Yeah.
Yeah. No, thanks for being a sponsor of ours, helping us accomplish what we need to accomplish.
Yeah,
we're all in this fight together. But look forward to hearing more from you down the road and
absolutely
having our listeners listen in as well.
Thanks for
places where folks can follow along with what you guys are up to.
Yeah, good question. I always say just do a Google search, silencercentral.com. I find people have the best experience if they call our sales team. And just, you know, doesn't mean you have to buy anything, but just talk to someone live.
Sure.
Because it's going to be an 8 or 9 month process, and our sales guys are going to put you in their phone and they're going to text you if you have questions. You're going to feel like you're getting your hand held, which is good, because I find that when we do surveys at the end, the people that bought online didn't talk to anyone. They don't have as great of experience as the guy who called in and just had a few questions and maybe you call in a few times. So, yeah, I mean, no one will probably remember the phone number. It's 888-781-8778, but just go to, you know, do a Google search, silencercentral.com, call the phone number, talk to us, ask us what questions we have. We'll tell you how we mail the suppressor from our facility to your front door.
Awesome. Well, I love it. All right. Well, for our listeners, you know, 3 to 5% of you using them right now. Everyone else, go to the website, look it up.
Totally.
Start dating one of the sales reps, you know. Get to know them well. Get on the phone with them. Really appreciate the time, Brandon.
No, and, thanks for having me.
Looking forward to our future talks down the road.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening in. I hope you enjoyed another episode of First for Hunters podcast. If you liked it, give it a like. Give it 5 stars, whatever it takes. We appreciate you. But for now, get back in the field. The turkeys are still gobbling.